The sinner saved by grace. Amen. Every last one of us. Thank God for God's grace. We heard about it this morning. Thank God for His grace. Amen. All right. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to start out my message tonight with a little bit of confession. They say when you pray, there's a time of confession during prayer, right? And I'm preaching on prayer, so I'm going to make a confession. I wasn't going to, but I got to. You ever heard of somebody giving you the shirt off their back? You heard that phrase before, right? Somebody giving you the shirt off their back. I bet you never heard this. Somebody giving you the belt off their waist. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? But I come to church tonight, and I was. This is the first for me. I've done a couple things now. I went to church one time. Some of you may remember this. And I went to church one time. Meredith and I were out of town, and we went to church on a Wednesday night. And I don't know. I had my dress shoes out in the vehicle. And I had my suit in the place we were staying. And so I put my suit on and I put my tennis shoes on to go get my dress shoes. And I got sidetracked and forgot. We get to church. I'm walking through there, shaking hands and, you know, telling their answers where we're from. I said, oh, yeah, I'm a youth pastor at Fellowship. Youth pastor. That really is the kicker right there. Youth pastor at Fellowship Baptist Church in Madison. We support missionaries. We're at Maranatha down in Yorktown, and we have two or three missionaries out of Maranatha that our church supports. I'm talking to the pastor and everybody, and go to the service, and we're sitting down, and they have prayer time, and we bow our head to pray, and I look down, and I'm like, I nudged Meredith, and I was like, I had Nike Air Maxes on with a suit, right? I was like, you got to be kidding me. I bet he thought, yeah, youth pastor, huh? But I did that one time, and then one time we were leaving for vacation. Vacation's always getting me, right? We were leaving for vacation one Sunday, and I loaded up, and it was a fifth Sunday, so I was preaching the Sunday morning service. I loaded all my luggage up, and I forgot my coat. I got here and told Pastor, I don't have my suit coat with me. And he said, well, that's fine, but I didn't have my suit coat to preach that morning. But in 19 years, going on 19 years of being a Christian and going to church, I have never forgot my belt. And I got to church tonight, and I reached down, and I realized, oh, my goodness, I don't have a belt on. And so I went to my dear brother, Marcus Freeman. I said, Marcus, I need a belt. He whipped his belt off and gave it to me. He said, it might not fit. And it's on there. It's for looks. I'll tell you that right now. It's only for looks, okay? But I appreciate Marcus giving me the belt off his back, right? And so you've heard of people giving you a shirt off their back. Marcus gave me his belt off his back, and I sure do appreciate it. But I thought I'd share that with you. So you never know what's going to happen when you're heading to church, and you'll have stuff like that. We're in Matthew chapter number 6, and we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, as it's called by some. I'm actually calling it a pattern for prayer. You may recall we looked a couple weeks ago at the priority of prayer. We looked at the perverting of prayer. We looked at the place of prayer. We looked at the privilege of prayer. And then last week we started looking at the pattern for prayer. I really believe that that's what Jesus has given here. I believe He's given a pattern for us to pray, a model for us to go by. And so that's what we've been looking at. And if you'll recall last week, we looked at meditation and the importance of meditation in our prayer life. I sure hope that somebody was encouraged or challenged by that truth last week. I know it's different when you're the one preaching and you're meditating all week on the truth and it gets in your heart. But this past week, I spent a lot of time in meditation. And some of you already know, and I'm just going to say it because you're looking at me like, man, did I work outside this week? But Meredith and I were gone last week, and we went to Nagshead. And I'll say this, talking about our God and how He provides, and I'm just saying this honestly, publicly, God is good to His children. You know that? God gave us a free trip to Nagshead. A friend of mine said that he had a trip planned, and he owned a house down there, but things fell through and the house was empty. And he said, if you and your wife like to go, it won't cost you a dime. And so we went, and thank God. We always try to get away at least once a year without the children around this time of year. And God just worked out. Second year in a row, God's provided a place for us to stay. And I just say that to God's glory. God takes care of His children. Not just our needs. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But God will even take care of our wants. Amen. And so God, this past week, we were out of town, and we didn't have our children with us. And if you'll recall last Sunday night, I think it was last Sunday night, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I was talking about the place of prayer. And I said, when you've got five children, it's hard to find a place. right? And some of you that have children in your home, you know what I'm talking about, where you can just get alone and get isolated and go into the closet and shut the door. If you're going to do it when you've got as many children in your house as I do, you're going to have to do it real early or real late, okay? And I'm not a night person, so I try to do it real early. But this week, I had time to just reflect and to meditate and to try to put into practice some of the things that I've preached, and I hope that some of you have. And I was meditating this week on some of the things that I preached last week, and that is about God as our Father. And if you'll recall, we talked about the access that we have with God as our Father, the accessibility, and not only that, but our His authority. He's in heaven. And we looked at His angle. He sees all. God is in heaven looking down, and he sees everything that's going on in our lives. Nothing gets by the eye of God. That's important to understand. When we're praying, it's important that we take time to meditate. Time to think. That's what meditation is. It's thinking. It's letting something just circulate in our minds and think about the fact that our God, He's our Father, and He's got authority. He's in heaven, and that not only does He have authority, but He's got an angle that nobody else has. God can see the beginning, God can see the ending, and God can see everything in between. And so we talked about that. We talked about His attributes, and that's where we finished up last week. And I was just meditating on that, some of the attributes of God. And I'll just encourage you, as I was encouraged this past week, if you didn't do it, I would challenge you to try to just meditate on one attribute of God every day. This past week, I tried to do that. I took every day and I just thought about one attribute or one title that God has. And I began to think about God as our provider. And as I meditated on God and how He provides, I began to pray. And I'm just sharing my heart with you, something that really helped me. I began to think about people in our church. I began to scan our auditorium, and I began to just kind of go row by row in my mind through our church. And as I did, God would just stop on a certain individual or a certain family, and I would pray, God provide in this situation. God provide in for this need. And I just went through different parts of who God is every day. I thought one day about God as our protector. The Bible says He's our refuge. He's our fortress. He's our protector. And I began to think about that and meditate on how God protects His children. And again, I went through this auditorium and I began to think about some people that really needed the hand of protection of God upon their life, and just really thought on that and prayed about that. And I challenge you, meditate in your prayer life. I believe that's one aspect that Jesus is trying to get us to understand as we look at what's known as the Lord's Prayer, this pattern for prayer. So we talked about meditation. Tonight, I want to look at a couple more things. And I really did. I meditated this week, and I prayed, and I thought about going, taking each week and teaching these points and really taking my time to go through this prayer. But I really want to get back to the theme of the Sermon on the Mount, because I think it's all building and it's going in a direction. And so I don't want to get off track. And so I'm going to finish up, Lord willing, tonight on this part of the prayer, the model prayer, or the pattern for prayer. And so number one, I'm going to give you a couple things that I believe we should have involved in our prayer life. And as I said last week, I've seen some great outlines. You've probably seen some great outlines of this prayer. I looked at some even this past week, and there's many different outlines and models or patterns for prayer that you can get from this prayer that Jesus shared. But I just began to think and to meditate on some aspects of this prayer, and they're not in necessarily any certain order, but I think they're things that need to be involved in our prayer life. And I think that if we will involve these things in our prayer life, it'll help. And I really want to help you tonight with prayer. Some of you have been in church a lot longer than I have. And you could help me in prayer. You have helped me in this area of prayer. But you know, it's good for all of us to be reminded of some things. It's good for me to be reminded of some important things in the area of prayer. And that's what I want to remind you of tonight. So number one, we talked about meditation. Number two, I think this is another thing that needs to be involved in our prayer life. And that is this: subjection. Subjection. You say, what do you mean by subjection, Brother David? Well, I looked up the definition to that word. I almost used the word submission, but I like the definition to subjection. This is what the dictionary says the word subjection means. It's the act of vanquishing and bringing under the dominion of another. It is the state of being under the power, control, and government of another. When we pray, it's very important that, number one, we meditate. We take time to be with God. I really believe that. Jesus said, enter into thy closet. I don't think he meant go get your coat and come out. No, he said, go into thy closet and shut the door. You know what that tells me? That tells me he wasn't talking about a short trip. It wasn't to go grab something and leave. No, he was saying, go into that quiet place and shut the door and get alone and spend some time with God. And as we do, it's good for us to meditate, to think about who we're talking to and who he really is and all that he really stands for. And so we need to meditate. But then as we meditate, I believe that we need to subject ourselves to him. There needs to be some subjection in our lives. I believe in some ways the act of prayer itself is a display of subjection. But we can't fool ourselves into thinking that there isn't a tendency to approach prayer as if we are the one with authority. I think we got to guard against that. I mean, you've probably heard it and I've heard it, and I think there's a maybe in some situations justification for it, but I don't know about all this name it and claim it stuff, where people almost act like they're going to tell God what to do. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get let us come boldly before the throne of grace mixed up. We don't go before God, and I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I'm just telling you, there's a movement even in our society today where people almost act like they've got authority to go in and claim things, in God's name. And I see here Jesus says, when you pray, you need to go into prayer with an attitude of subjection. You need to go into prayer understanding who's in charge, right? That's why we talk about, you know, sometimes maybe some of you children in here tonight, you wonder, why do we bow our heads when we pray? There's situations in the Bible where people lifted up their heads and prayed. I think we bow our heads in prayer because it's an act of subjection. You say, why do we go to the altar and get down on our knees? Now, there's examples in the Bible where people kneeled and prayed, but why do people kneel and pray? Because they're showing themselves being in subjection. It's the approach in which we come to God. We come to God understanding that he is the Father, that he is the authority, that he is the one that is in heaven, and we come to him with that attitude. And Jesus says, when you pray, you need to come to God in subjection. Look at it in verse number 9. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father. That in itself is an act of subjection. That's you understanding that he's the Father. And I know we're living in a world, I said it the other week, but just because our world is pushing it doesn't make it okay. Children, obey your parents, right? The Father is the authority, not the children. Pastor already mentioned that. The children don't call the shots. The Father does. He didn't even tell us that. He alluded to it, thinking you're going to understand who's supposed to be calling the shots in your home. The Father. It goes without saying. And so Jesus, when he says to pray, Father, it goes without saying, he's the authority. You're the child. He's the Father. All throughout this prayer, you see it. I was looking through it this week and I thought, wow, I don't know that I'd ever seen that before. But Jesus says, our Father. He's talking about the Father-Son relationship. Then look at what he says. He says, thy kingdom come. What's that make him? If he has a kingdom, what's that make him? A king. What's that make me? A subject. He's the king. I'm the subject, right? He's the father. I'm the child. You could go on, and he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that's the picture almost of a master and a servant. Give us this day our daily bread, as if to say that we don't have access to that, but the master does, and I'm just a servant, or he's the master, and I'm a slave. That's what the Bible uses very many times, talking about our relationship. We're like slaves, right? We're servants. And so he's the master. I'm the servant. Look at what he says. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He's the judge. I'm the criminal, right? He goes on and he says, and lead us not into temptation. He's the guide. I'm the follower. You see it? He goes on. As you look at this, you can't help but see that Jesus is teaching this truth. God is here and we are here. And so when we go to God in prayer, it's important that we go to God in subjection, understanding who we are and who he is. Can I tell you that even Jesus in his earthly ministry, the Bible says in Philippians that he being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And you know what he did? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, when he prayed, you know how he prayed? Father. Father. You ought to read sometime. We may turn to it, but I really want to try to be done in under 40 minutes tonight. Miss Faulkner brought her blanket, Brother Allen. Just in case I went over 40 minutes, you could go to sleep. If y'all ain't seen that comedy show that Miss Sharon and Jessica did, it's on Facebook. I'm going to put a plug in. It's on Facebook, and it's under. Go to Jessica's Facebook page and watch the little skit they did yesterday. I was thinking yesterday, we got to get them to do it here in church sometime, right? Everybody's got to see that. That's just good, wholesome humor. Brother Allen wrote a song yesterday, and he included my preaching. Have you heard it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you need to hear it. I couldn't believe you wasn't there yesterday. He needs to hear it. He's in it. I know. That's why I wanted to know if he heard it, because he had a line about his hair. That's right. But Brother Allen wrote a song, and in his song he talked about Brother David preaching 40 minutes and the kids sleeping. And so I got 40 minutes after that, they're going to sleep. And so I may not go to John 17, but you go to John 17. You ought to read that high priestly prayer. I read it this afternoon, and I read it before this week. And Jesus, as he goes through that prayer over and over and over again in John chapter 17, Jesus says, Father, Father, Father. He's talking to God the Father. Even when Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, you know what he prayed? He said, Father, not my will, but thy will. You know what he was doing? He was in subjection. The Lord Jesus brought himself into subjection as our example, as our high priest, as the one to teach us how to pray. When he went to God the Father, he went to God the Father as the Son in subjection. And he said, Father, if it be willing, take this cup away from me. But if not, God, your will be done, not mine. And so when we go to pray, it's important that we have that attitude that this isn't about my will, it's about God's will. It's about what God wants. It'll change the way we pray when we go to our prayer closet and we meditate on who we're talking to and what he's able to do. And we understand that his will is always best. Pastor mentioned it tonight. Whatever he does, it's good. And when we pray, we need to pray with that mindset. God, I subject myself to your will. Whatever you do in my life, it's going to be good. It's going to be right. And so number one, we see meditation. Number two, we see subjection. We could go throughout the Bible and we could see example after example after example of people that prayed in subjection to God the Father. So number one, we see meditation. Number two, we see subjection. Number three, we see supplication. Supplication. You say, what is supplication? Or you could say a petition. It is a request. It is asking for something needed or desired. You know, when we think of prayer, we automatically jump to that thought a lot of times. We think prayer is just asking God for things. And yes, that is a part of prayer, but don't forget meditation. Don't forget subjection or submission. Don't forget who we're talking to and having the right attitude as we talk to Him before we go to Him with our petitions or with our supplications. I personally believe that everything that we could biblically ask for, I wanted to say that important, biblically ask for. Everything that we biblically could ask for will fall somewhere in this model prayer. You say, Brother David, it's only a couple lines. I know, but it's got a lot in it. These petitions are in two categories, I believe. And you could divide them numerous ways, but I'm going to divide them in this way. I think there's two categories in this prayer. The first category, I'm going to call it the driving desire, right, in our prayer. And then I'm going to give the second category, the daily dependence. So two categories, and I think within those categories, we can find all kinds of different things that we pray for. And so we got to see the supplication. Look at it first, the driving desire in our petition, our supplication to God, when we're asking for something from God. What drives us? What desire are we looking for? Look at it in verse number 9. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, look at it, hallowed be thy name. You know, I don't know that I ever really, until I really began to study this prayer, viewed that as a petition or as a supplication, but I really believe that's what it is. Jesus is saying, when you pray, God, hallow thy name. You say, well, God's name is hallowed. I know. God's name is holy. That's what hallowed means. It means holy. It means sanctified. It means set apart. And he says, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, sanctify thy name. God, hallow thy name. God, make your name holy. But it is holy. So why would God ask us to pray that way? Because God, Jesus is saying that needs to be the desire. That needs to be the driving force behind why we pray. We want God's name to be holy. We want God's name to be hallowed. We want God's name to be sanctified, to be set apart. That is what motivates our prayer. Our prayer ought to be, God, make your name known. God, make your name hallowed. God, set apart your name. He says, hallowed be thy name. God, let thy kingdom come. God, let thy will be done. That ought to be the driving force when we pray. God, I want your will. I believe Jesus, if you read through the prayers of Jesus, you will find over and over, that's the way Jesus prayed. God, I want your name to be glorified. In John 17, he says, glorify thy name. He said, I've glorified thy name on earth. He said, but these that you've given me, they don't know about your glory. God, let them see your glory. I'm paraphrasing, but you read it for yourself. That's what Jesus prayed. He said, Father, you've given me them, and I've glorified your name. I mean, Jesus goes on and on talking about the name of God. He wants the Father's name to be glorified. And he says, I want them to know you the way that I know you. You know, that ought to be our driving desire when we pray, that this world would know God the way that we know him. You say, why? You say, see, if you look at this prayer at first glance, if you look at this first glance, you know, you would think, well, Jesus isn't even talking about praying for lost souls. I mean, when you read the Lord's Prayer, you're like, we pray for people to get saved. I don't see that in the Lord's Prayer. There it is. There it is. You know how God's name's going to be hallowed? By people getting saved. You know how God's name is going to be sanctified and set apart? By the salvation of souls. See, before I got saved, my life wasn't a life that would want to glorify and honor God. But now I have a desire, just like you have a desire, what? That his name might be magnified. That his name might be glorified. That the whole earth might know our God. And so when we pray, thy Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're praying, God, save souls. God, change this world. Let thy kingdom come. And he said, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I want your will that like it is in heaven, where the angels are worshiping you, where the angels are serving you. God, where you're getting all the glory. I want that here on earth. That's how we're supposed to pray. And if we're just honest, I don't know, maybe you do pray that way. I can't say that I always do. See, sometimes we pray selfish prayers. It's all about us. And Jesus says, you want to know how you need to pray? You need to pray. You need to not pray for yourself first. You need to pray for God first. God's always first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus is going to say that here in a couple verses of scripture. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. 1 John 5:14-15 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's important. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we ask, if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You see, when we pray, we need to pray in his will. God, let your will be done. God, save this person, because I know, God, that's your will. God, I know that you want people to worship you. God, I know you want people to serve you. God, I know that you want people to glorify and magnify your name. And so, God, I pray you're talking about, I think it was Lloyd-Jones said, this is the greatest missionary prayer that was ever prayed. Thy kingdom come. God, I want to see the whole world worship you. God, I'm praying that everybody in this world, all those countries that we represent, that we send money to, that we pray for, you know what we ought to be praying when we pray for our missionaries? We ought to be praying, God, use them in that land that your name might be glorified. Amen. That you might get the glory. That souls might be saved so they'll worship and they'll serve you. That ought to be the driving desire of our pray. Why do we want people saved? Why do we want lives changed? Why do we want righteousness to reign? Why? Why do we want these things? Do we pray for righteousness in our land so that the economy will be good? Or do we pray for righteousness in our land so that God would get the glory? So that the gospel could go forward? God, not my will, but thy will be done. God, whatever your will is, I want your will to be done in my life. And so what is the driving desire of our prayer? It ought to be like Elijah's prayer was in 1 Kings chapter 18, where he said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Elijah said, God, would you answer my prayer so that these people will know that you are God? If we would pray that way, I believe it would change things. That's praying according to the will of God. God, do this for your glory. God, do this for your sake. God, I want you to touch this person's life, and I want you to do a miracle so that you can get the glory. We heard some of it this morning. I believe with all my heart that, and I know for a fact, there was many times where Marcus and Kirsten prayed, God, would you touch Ellie? Would you work in Ellie's life? Would you heal her body so that you could get the glory? So that those doctors would know that there's a God in heaven and he answers prayer. So that our people's faith would be strengthened and they would know that my God can answer prayer. I enjoyed that testimony by Sister Danielle this morning of not being able to have children, because there's other people that have struggled to have children. And that testimony is a testimony that God can answer prayer. God can do the miraculous. God can do things that we can't imagine, but we got to pray, God, do it for your glory, not for mine. Your will be done. And you know what? When we pray your will be done, we got to be willing to accept that it might not be his will. You say, well, it said if we ask anything according to his will, he gives us that he'll answer. Yeah, sometimes his answer's no. But he hears us. When we pray according to his will, he hears us. And sometimes his answer may not be what we want, but can I tell you this? It's what we need. Because we don't see it all. We don't understand everything.
And we got to just understand he's the king. I'm just telling you here, I'm almost done. But listen to me. This is so important when we pray, because I'm telling you, there's been times in my life where I've prayed, God, would you answer this prayer? And I just don't understand why he's not answering that prayer. But I've got to get to the place in my life where I trust him. Pastor said this morning, do you completely trust God? Do you accept that he's the king? You're the subject. He's the guide and you're the follower. He's the master and you're the servant. He's the father and you're the child. And whatever he says, it's right and it's good and it's okay and it's for the best. Even if it's no. Even if it's I won't heal them. We've got to be willing to accept his answer. And when our desire is right, when the driving desire is right, it makes it so much easier. So our petition has got to be the right desire. And so we see that, the driving desire. Then we see the daily dependence. Look at it, verse number 11, he said, give us this day our daily bread. He says, ask God daily. It's dependence. You know, that's what prayer is. You know, he told us back a couple verses ago, Jesus said, you don't need to be as the heathen and pray. God already knows what you need, and then he tells you to ask God to give you what you need. It just shows me that Jesus was given an example of profane, empty praying. He wasn't saying, don't ask God for what you need. It's over the Bible where God, he commends someone for asking. It's ask with the right attitude. Ask with the right desire. Ask because you're dependent upon him. And you realize, God, I need you to meet my needs. See, I think we in America, we've been so blessed. We don't know, we don't understand. There's places in this world today and many places in that world in that day where if God didn't feed you, you wasn't going to eat. Can I tell you, it's the same way in America today. All they got to do is cut the power off. And within a week or two, the deep freezer is going to thaw out. And it's going to take God. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but can I tell you, he's the only one that can stop it from happening. And so every day we ought to say, God, give me this day. God, feed me today. I don't think he's just talking about food when he says, give us this day our daily bread. I think once again, Jesus is not speaking literally. He's speaking, he's speaking in a bigger scheme than that. He's saying, give us this day our daily provisions, all that we need. God, today, give me the health that I need. God, today, give me the food that I need. God, today, give me the strength that I need. God, today, would you meet my needs? Because, God, I sure do need you. And he said, go to God daily, dependent upon him for his provision. Go to God daily, dependent upon him for his pardon. Look at it. He said, pray our Father, which art in heaven. He said, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Ask God daily for pardon. Ask God daily for provision. And then he says, ask God daily for protection. Look at it in verse 13. Lead us not into temptation. Some people think this is a separate prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I think they go together. It would have said, and deliver us from evil. I think but connects them. And he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus is saying, when you pray, ask God to protect you. Can I ask you this? Did you ask God to protect you today? You should. I should. Every day. And I don't think just say, well, yeah, I got on the bus this morning. I said, God, give us, I prayed as we left our service this morning. God, would you protect our buses as they travel home? But I don't think that's necessarily what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritually speaking. God, would you protect me today from clicking on the wrong website? From running into the wrong person? For saying the wrong thing. I've made a practice years ago. I heard this and I've tried to do it. And I every time I kind of make myself, don't let it be vain repetition. Let it be real. And I have to remind myself, I don't want to just go through the motions. I mean this, God. God, would you protect my eyes today? God, would you protect my ears today? Don't let them hear anything they shouldn't hear. God, would you protect my mind today? Don't let me think about anything I shouldn't think about. God, would you protect my heart today? Help me not to feel and to love things that I shouldn't love today. God, would you protect my mouth? I'll say that 4 or 5 times. Because my mouth's always getting me in trouble. God, would you protect my mouth today? That I wouldn't say anything that I shouldn't say. God, would you protect my hands today that they wouldn't do anything they shouldn't do? God, would you protect my feet today that they wouldn't go anywhere they shouldn't go? God, would you protect me today from me? I don't know about you, but I need God to protect me from me. Protect me from doing something that would wreck and ruin my life if it were for not your grace. God, I need you to protect me today. God, protect me from the evil that's out in this world. It's everywhere, brethren. And we ought to take it real serious. God, protect my children. I like this. You know what he says? He doesn't say, lead me. I've been saying me the whole time. You ought to look at what he says. Lead us. Lead us. God, would you protect my pastor today? God, would you guard his eyes and his mind and his heart? God, would you protect my children today? God, would you provide for my children today? God, would you pardon my children? God, would you meet our needs, God? He says, pray for our daily dependence upon him, our provisions. I believe that covers a lot of things. Our protection, our pardon. He says, you need to daily pray for God and depend upon him. So we see petitions or supplications. Then we see examination. So we got meditation, right? You with me? We got meditation. We got subjection. We got supplication. We've got examination. You say, where do you see examinations? He said, forgive us our debts. I don't think I'm stretching it by saying, if I'm going to ask God to forgive me of my debts, I got to examine myself. God, is there anything in my life that I need forgiveness for? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When we pray, there ought to be a time of examination. God, is there anything between me and you? Because God, I don't want anything. The Bible says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So important, this thing of prayer. So we see examination. And then last, and I'm done, we see adoration. Look at verse number 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I believe anytime there's examination, real, genuine examination, there's always going to be adoration. When we really think about who we are, when we really think about what we deserve, and we think about how good our God is, there's going to well up inside of us a praise and a worship and an adoration to our God. He said, when you pray, make sure there's some adoration. Now, I gave those to you in order that's there, and I believe that's a good order, but I'm not saying that's the order it ought to be in, but I'll say this. I think those things ought to be in our prayer. Meditation. Think about who God is. Meditate on all his attributes, his authority, the fact that we have access to him. Meditate on that. Subjection. Bring ourselves under his authority, realizing who we are and who he is. Supplication or petition, depending upon him daily, desiring, the driving desire is his name being glorified, his will being done. Examination, looking at our lives, is there anything between me and God? And then adoration, just praising and worshiping and thanking him for who he is. That's the model prayer. I believe there's much more in there, but I believe that's the things that Jesus wants us to get from it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heads